We might have time for a couple of questions at the end, so if you have questions as we're going along, hang on to them. But let me ask us as we start, friends, how should we think as Christians about money? Because different people have said different things and different preachers have preached different things about money. Some have told us to avoid it. Some have told us to pursue it. Let me introduce you to two preachers who've preached very different messages on money. The first one is from the 4th century, the second one from the 21st century. Let's start with the 4th century and meet this guy, John Chrysostom. I love these pictures from church history. I mean, you kind of look at that and you think, did he really look like that? I don't know. Maybe he did, but that's the picture that we've got. John Chrysostom, and he was a bishop in Constantinople, the leading church in one of the leading Christian cities in the Roman Empire. And this guy was a passionate preacher against money and against having money. Listen to this excerpt from one of his sermons, and the quote will be up there. How long shall we love riches? For I shall not cease exclaiming against them, for they are the cause of all evils. How long do we not get our fill of this insatiable desire? What is the good of gold? I'm astonished at the thing. There is some enchantment in the business that gold and silver should be so highly valued among us. For our own souls, indeed, we have no regard, but those lifeless images engross much attention. Whence is it that this disease has invaded the world? Who shall be able to effect its destruction? What reason can cut off this evil beast and destroy it with utter destruction? The desire is deep sown in the minds of men, even of those who seem to be religious. He was a passionate preacher against money. And Chrysostom didn't just talk the talk. This guy gave his money away. He didn't keep much to himself. He became what was known as an ascetic. He went and lived in the desert with not very much. No hot showers for Chrysostom. No hot coffees and croissants with jam and butter. This guy gave away the luxuries of life and preached against money. He wasn't popular in the day because Constantinople was a wealthy city and he made a lot of enemies amongst the elite. But then there's another preacher who preaches for money, Brian Houston from Hillsong Church. And I think I've got a picture of him. Here is a passionate preacher for money. Now look at this article. This article was published in the Good Weekend a number of years ago now. But it's a picture of Brian and his wife, Bobby. And on the front cover of the Good Weekend, it says, "The Lord's Prophets," spelt P-R-O-F-I-T-S. "God wants you to be rich. Just ask Brian and Bobby, spiritual leaders of the church," the Hillsong Church. The article refers to a book that Brian Houston wrote, and there's a picture of the book. You need more money. You need more money. Discovering God's amazing financial plan for your life. There is a preacher encouraging us to pursue money. Chrysostom saying, avoid it, it's dangerous. Brian Houston saying, go for it. Pursue it. In fact, you need more. So which is it, friends? What do we do with the Bible's teaching on money? What do we do with Proverbs' teaching on money? What does this preacher do for us today as we think about this topic? Let's pray. Let's ask God to give us wisdom. He promises that he will when we ask him. So what a great prayer to pray. And then we'll turn to Proverbs in search of it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the source of all wisdom. We thank you that you so generously share it with us. And we thank you, Father, that you speak about the practical realities of everyday life, including money, and how to think about it and what to do with it. And we pray that you might make us wise now as we consider your word to us in Proverbs, that we may live wisely with money to the honour and the glory of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, the Bible, Proverbs, is clear that money is good. Money is good, and it shouldn't surprise us because God made it, and everything that God made is good. A good God, the good God, couldn't make something that isn't good. He made money. Money is good. So if you're rich in money, you're rich in something good. You are rich in a good blessing from God. Proverbs itself teaches this. Proverbs 10 verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. And we know that money is good because Proverbs teaches us that money is the reward or the fruit from a whole lot of other good things. Take wisdom, for example. Proverbs teaches us that, generally speaking, wisdom leads to wealth. Proverbs is upfront about this. Proverbs 3:15-16. Wisdom is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Well, this one, 14:24. The crown of the wise is what? It's their wealth. But the folly of fools brings folly. We know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So Proverbs teaches us that the fear of the Lord leads to wealth as well. 22:4. The reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honour and life. Or this one, 28:25. A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. So money's good. It's a good gift from our good God. And we know that money's good because you can do good stuff with money, which you can't do without money. As this proverb tells us, 10:15, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. Money's a source of strength. It's a source of power, isn't it? We can do stuff with money. We can get things done. Wealth, money equals strength. You want to build a hospital? You need money. You want to build a school? You need money. You want to plant a church? You need money. I heard an interview recently with Rick Smith, who's the senior minister at a church on the Lower North Shore. He's one of the nominees for the next Archbishop appointment in a couple of months' time. And Rick Smith has led a group of churches, and he wants to plant more churches. And the thing that's holding him back is money. He just needs more money. Brian Houston would seem to be right. If he's got more money, he can appoint more staff and plant more churches, which would seem to be a good thing. Our church gave generously to the India mission trip last year. And we raised some $4,000 in surplus. I haven't yet communicated with our church what actually happened with this, so I'm just going to take this opportunity right now and tell you, because something really good happened with this money. Money is good. That $4,000 is being used by the India Gospel League to support two pastors and their families as they plant churches in India so that people can hear about Jesus. Here are a couple of pictures of the families. There's one and the other, two families. That's where that $4,000 is going. In fact, that $4,000 that we raised can support those two families for 2 years planting churches. I think the reason that I hesitated to mention this is that Brian and myself cost a whole lot more, and I've kind of feared that you might just give up on us altogether and just direct all of your money over to India. That's why...
It doesn't look
like... But we see that money is good, don't we? We see that money gets things done, and money gets good things done. So money's a good gift from God. So I need more of it, right? I need to get rich, right? I need to pursue it, right? Well, not necessarily, because Proverbs also teaches us that money isn't the best thing. It's not the best thing. As good as money is, Proverbs tells us that there's a whole lot of other things that are a whole lot better than money. Listen to some of them. Wisdom is better than money, Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Righteousness is better than money. Better a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. A good reputation is better than money. 22:1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favour is better than silver or gold. The fear of the Lord is better than money. 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. And finally, love. Love is better than money. 15:17. Better a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. When I was reflecting on these verses, I couldn't help but think about Gina Rinehart and her family. Gina Rinehart is Australia's richest woman. She is way, way wealthy. Billionaire type wealthy. But she is in this bitter, ugly, legal battle with her children, can you believe? Not with employees or not with other mining competitors, but she's fighting in the courts a bitter, acrimonious feud with her kids, two of her kids. They're fighting over money. And they're doing it publicly for everybody to see. It's sprawled across the newspapers. It's tragic. Proverbs would say, you fool. You absolute fool. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. So to summarise so far, money's good, but it's not the best. Having rich relationships, that's way better than being rich in assets. That's what Proverbs teaches us. Relating rightly to God, that is by loving Him and fearing Him, that's real richness. That's way better than money. It's way better than being cashed up. Relating rightly to others by loving them, that's way better than money. So money's good, yes, but God and people, they're the best. That's real value, real treasure. And friends, what we need to watch is that we don't let the good become the enemy of the best. Have you heard that expression? Don't let the good become the enemy of the best. And this is a wonderful expression to remember when it comes to money, because this is the mistake that so many people make. This is where money, as good as it is deadly, deadly dangerous. You see, we can fall in love with it, and the good becomes the enemy of the best. Money itself isn't evil, but the love of money is evil. In fact, it's a root of all kinds of evil, the New Testament tells us, because you cannot love God and love money at the same time. Just can't do it. Look at Jesus' teaching, Matthew 6, verse 24. Jesus himself, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Can't do it. Lots of people try, you can't. There'll be one that you love, one that you hate. The Apostle Paul expands on this, showing what can happen if we love money. Look at the danger of money, or the love of money, in these verses, 1 Timothy 6. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Friends, let me just open up a little bit, be a little bit personal at this point. These verses are quite painful for me. They're quite personal to me because I grew up in a family with money. By God's grace, we had a lot of money growing up. I went to a private school, my siblings and I, we all went to private schools. We enjoyed really, really great holidays, many of them overseas, some of them overseas skiing holidays. We had a large home, we had a pool and a tennis court in our home. Pretty wealthy, really. I mean, in some ways, I think we're all pretty wealthy in Sydney. I feel like my family were some of the wealthiest. But sadly, as far as I can see, some of my family have come to fall in love with money. That's what they live for, as far as I can tell, not God. It's what they love, as far as I can tell, not God. So although Proverbs teaches us that money is good, Proverbs warns us not to chase it, not to pursue it. Look at this, Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Or this one, 28:22. A stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. See, to pursue money, to chase it, to idolize it, to dream about it, this is to treat it as a god, which will be the end of us. 11:28. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. So what do we do with this teaching about money? What do we do with Proverbs' teaching about money? Money's good, but it's not the best. And in fact, it's actually dangerous. What do we do? Well, I've got one bit of financial advice for us tonight. Proverbs has heaps. There's lots that could be said, but I'm going to be simple, and I'm going to give us our financial advice for tonight. If you like our kingdom economics, and it is this, give money to the work of God's kingdom. That's my advice to us for tonight. As I said, it's not the exclusive teaching of the Bible on money or even of Proverbs on money. But I think it's a good bit of advice. And I say it to myself as well. because I need to grow in this area, but let's give money to the work of God's kingdom. This is the teaching of Proverbs. So look at these verses, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. But why, friends, why should we give to the work of God? Well, remember what we've just seen. God is what's best, or God is who's best. And how do we meet God? In the gospel. We meet God in the good news about Jesus. Jesus who died for our sins, including our sin of greed. We meet God in the gospel, the good news that by trusting in Jesus, our sins are forgiven and that we're made members of God's kingdom. That is real treasure. That is real wealth. In fact, Jesus himself called the kingdom of God a pearl of great value, a hidden treasure. Some of you may know Colin Buchanan, the kids' singer, who sings that the greatest treasure in the whole wide world is peace with God. Thank you. That's right. That's real treasure. So if God gives us money, what do we want to do with it? What should we do with it? Well, we'll invest it in things of real value. That is the work of the gospel, so that other people can come to know what we know, so that other people can have peace with God through faith in Jesus. See, what do you do when you're investing your money, when you're going to put it in a bank? How do you make that decision about which bank to choose? You look at who's going to give you the best return, don't you? Who's got the best interest rates? If the CBA is offering you 3% interest, but Westpac's offering you 6% interest, it's a no-brainer. You're going to put your money with Westpac, aren't you? You want the best return for your money. Well, the Bible tells us that God offers the best return of all. You see, when we invest our money in God, give to the work of the gospel, we're using our money to help people hear about Jesus. When we're using our money to support missionaries, to plant churches, well, then our money is helping people to be one for heaven. That's a real return for our money. That's wise Christian investing. We're actually making friends for heaven, the Bible tells us. Friends who will welcome us into heaven and thank us for all of eternity. Jesus teaches us this in one of his parables. This is what Jesus calls laying up treasures in heaven. And you know, there's another reason to give to the work of God's kingdom. And that is that it protects our hearts. One of the fascinating things about the Bible's teaching about money is that our hearts follow our treasure. We kind of think it should be the other way around. That is, when it comes to being generous, I should get my heart right and then I'll start giving. I'll just wait till I kind of sort it out, get my heart in the right place, then I'll give my money away. The problem is often we never get to that point. The Bible tells us to give our money away, just kind of get on and do it, give it away, and that will help keep your heart in the right place. Of course, it's not that we can purchase salvation. Salvation's a gift received from God. But as God's people, once we know the riches that we have in Christ, giving money away is a wonderful way to keep our heart in the right place, that is, in heaven. We know, I think if we think about it, that our heart follows our treasure. Think about some treasure, some of those favourite or best purchases that you were talking about earlier. For me, I think my favourite purchases are anything made by Apple. In fact, the latest Apple product, take this one here, for example. I mean, they're just beautiful pieces of technological engineering, you must agree. And when I have picked up the latest Apple product, my affections are devoted to it. I find myself cleaning it and polishing it and sleeping with it under my pillow, and I love it. It's just a glorious and beautiful thing. See, our heart follows our treasure, doesn't it? If this is what we treasure, then that's where our affections go. And so Jesus tells us, therefore, to give your money away and build up treasure in heaven, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Look at these verses from the Sermon on the Mount. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, our heart follows our treasure. So, let me conclude. Let me summarise. What does this preacher say about money? Given that lots of preachers have said different things. Money is good, but it's not the best. The best thing is God and others and relating rightly to God and others. And we mustn't let the good, money, become the enemy of the best, which it certainly can. And one great way to protect against this is to give our money away, to give it to the work of the kingdom of God, which is using our money to help other people relate rightly to God and others in the gospel. That is wise spending. That is laying up treasure in heaven. So friends, let me ask you as we close, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure located? And where do your affections go? Is it your wealth, your bank account, some possession, something of this world, or is it in heaven? Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? Build up treasure in heaven and get your heart in the right place. As we close, I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer, actually, from Proverbs. A prayer written by a man by the name of Agur from chapter 30. And this prayer recognises that money is good. And so it asks God to provide for us so that we don't have so little that we might be tempted to steal. Because that, of course, would dishonour the name of God. But the prayer also recognises that money is dangerous and that having too much could make us proud so that we forget God. You see there the good becoming the enemy of the best. And so it's a prayer that wouldn't happen. And I think it's a great prayer to pray. Let me just read it and then we'll pray it. It's from Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 9. Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. That's the prayer. I wanted to read it through. Let's pray it. I'm going to say it out loud, but you might like to bow your heads and make it your own. It's a good prayer to pray. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your teaching to us in Proverbs. And we thank you for the gift of wisdom that you give to us. Make us those wise people who are not just hearers, but doers, and put into practice the things that we have heard. Two things we ask of you, deny them not to us before we die. Remove far from us falsehood and lying. Give us neither poverty nor riches. Feed us with the food that is needful for us, lest we be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest we be poor and steal and profane the name of our God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, does anybody have any questions at all from anything that I've said or any of the book Proverbs teaching on wealth? Feel free to grab me at supper, but if there's any questions now, I'll take them. Yeah.
I noticed you haven't mentioned the whole concept of tithing, so I just think that
thank you very much. Yeah, great question, Suzanne. Thanks so much. Question of tithing. Yeah, sure. So tithing was something that God's people in the Old Testament were required to do. And the word tithe just means tenth. That is, they were required to give a tenth of their income to God. I've been encouraging us to consider giving to the work of the kingdom. In Old Testament times, that was a tenth. God was really prescriptive at that point. That's how much it needs to be, a tenth. And the question that I think Suzanne is asking is, what about us now? Is there a figure? And is it a tenth? Should we tithe? Should we kind of do our sums and look at our income and go, right, a tenth? Bang, that's my giving to the work of God, church and missionaries and so on. And the 90% is for me. No, the Bible, God doesn't give us a number. Now, we're not under the law, the prescriptive Old Testament law, as Christians. We're under the law of Christ, which is the law of love. So we don't have a number. God hasn't said to us now as new covenant Christians, people who know the love of Christ, 10% or 5% or 3% or 20% or whatever it might be. We don't have a number. What we have is be generous. That's what we're given. God has been unbelievably generous to us, to you, to me, in the gospel. We have every spiritual blessing that there is in Christ. give cheerfully and generously. That's what we're told now in the New Testament. So what does that mean practically? How do we kind of figure this out? Well, for some people, giving 10% might be unbelievably generous. That might be generous, given kind of life for you at the moment, given kind of what you need to live on. 10% might be generous. For other people, 5% might be generous. For other people, 10% might just be really stingy and really greedy and keeping kind of way too much back to ourselves. For many of us, we might be able to give 20% very easily without making much sacrifice at all. And so to kind of just cut it off at 10% and go, that's me doing my bit, could actually be a sort of subtle and hidden form of greed. So it's not the number, I think, that matters. It's where our heart is. Are we wanting to honour God and to be generous and give to the work of his kingdom so that other people can know the riches that we have in Christ? So that can be kind of hard to figure out, and it's not easy. I don't find it easy because our hearts are deceptive. Our hearts are going to trick us and tell us that we need more than we do. But I just encourage us to pray about it, to talk about it with one another. Yeah, great question. Thank you very much. Yeah, Nikki. Yeah, great question. And I think, is there a Bible? Someone just threw me. I just grabbed that. Thanks very much, Naomi. Thank you very much. I think that might have been in the Proverbs 3 passage. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. I think the idea is the best of your produce. That was to be given to God. You know, the kind of best part of the harvest was to be given to God. When offerings were made, thank offerings and so on, it was to be quality animals, not animals with blemishes and defects. That's a principle that runs through the Old Testament, giving God the first of your kind of harvest or income and giving God the best of your harvest and income. What does that mean now? It's a great question. It's worth thinking about. I mean, one thing it might mean is just making our giving to God the very first thing we kind of think about doing with our money, the first thing we actually kind of give to with our money. I mean, because often we operate, I think, opposite to that. We kind of spend what we need to spend on ourselves and throw in some luxuries as well, and then with the leftover change, we might kind of drop that in the plate at church. But I think we want to think different to that. Look at the money that God has graciously entrusted to us, and before we think of anything else, think about giving to the work of God. Giving to God and to the work of his kingdom, or to the needy and the poor. I haven't spoken about that, by the way. There's massive teaching in Proverbs on giving to the poor. Have a look at that. So I think if that's the first kind of thing we think about, that might be how that principle flows over to us now. Great question. Yep, last one from Neil. Last one. It's really helpful. Fantastic. Yeah, great idea. I really like it. Yep, that might just be a kind of a practical application by which we might do that. Yeah, thanks very much for the comment. Thanks, Neil. I said last one. Okay, very quickly. You're right. Yeah, okay. Sure. Really encouraging. Thanks very much. Thanks for sharing, Faye. Really encouraging.